In chapter 7 of the book of Acts, Stephen, the evangelist, actually was a deacon in those early days, he was put on the defense, and he gave a defense of his position with Jesus Christ, and they did not like it. The Bible says his face, they gazed on him, but his face looked like an angel's face. And he went through the history of Israel. He showed how so many times the Jews didn't listen. They didn't pay attention. Israel would go against their leaders. They would go against God, God's servants. And he concludes. He comes all the way down. And chapter 7, and beginning in verse 51, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You were doing just as your fathers did," he said. "Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you now have become. You have received the law as ordained by angels, yet you did not keep it." Now, when they heard this, I mean, they were just filled. They had listened patiently, gone through all this. When they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. And being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed at him. Let me read you that in another translation. They cried out with a loud voice. Yeah, well, that's it. They covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse, with one purpose. And when they had driven him out of the city, they grabbed him, you know, just start running with him, taking him out. They began stoning him. The witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord Jesus. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And having said this, he fell asleep. That's how the Bible refers to death. He fell asleep. Let me read that in the MacDonald idiomatic translation. On his knees, he called out in a vehement voice, "Lord, do not call this sin on their account, or do not put this sin on their account." After saying this, that translation says, he fell unconscious. In the New English translation, it says, "Then he fell to his knees and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died." The New English translation just plainly goes to what that metaphor is about. He died. Now, that's a particular Greek word that means fall asleep. You know, it's used when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked his disciples, "Would you just pray with me for a little while? Would you pray with me? Would you stay alert for an hour?" And when he came by, they got drowsy and they fell asleep. Now, there's a literal falling asleep, and then there's the metaphorical falling asleep, which means death. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 39, the Bible says this, "The wife," let me read it from the King James Version now, "the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." Now, the King James does not translate that Greek word literally. They here make an interpretation, because that Greek word is the same one that we saw where Stephen fell asleep. It's the same Greek word. But here, the King James translates it, "if he be dead," because they know metaphorically what that means, you see. As long as the husband lives, but if the husband fell asleep, which they know means he died. Let me read that in the MacDonald idiomatic translation. "A wife is bound by marriage for as long as her husband is living. If he falls asleep," and then they have a parenthesis, "in death," close parenthesis, "she is free to marry whomever she desires. Now, if you're stupid and you just look at that as soon as he falls asleep, I go out and marry somebody else. I mean, not, because you don't understand metaphors. And to read the Bible, you have to understand its metaphorical language to understand the Bible. You just like the parts, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know, that's metaphorical. All right, here's the New American Standard Version translation of that verse. A woman is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead. Again, they go right to the interpretation of that Greek word because it's metaphorical, but it means death in this case. She is free to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. Now, it's also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Paul is talking about his ministry. He says, therefore, and he says, you know, he was seen, talking about the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus was seen by over 500 brothers at once. I'm reading this now from the McDonald Idiomatic Translation. Most of whom are still living, but some fell asleep. See, that same Greek word, some fell asleep. But again, that means they died. In the New American Standard Version, it reads like this. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. So the word sleep is metaphoric for death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, Paul writes this. But I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That we will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed. We will not all fall asleep. And here it is, another one, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 22. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Again, the word death. For since death came through man, then the resurrection also comes. So we have a metaphor. The word sleep means a metaphor for death here. David slept with his fathers, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, and he was buried in the city of David. The Bible says, David slept with his fathers. And then in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43, it talks about Solomon the same way. Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried. Slept with his fathers, meaning he's buried along with the kings and the other people and buried with his family. Most people want to be buried where their family is. You know, I don't know what all of you are thinking. Where are you going to be buried? Have you given any thought to your burial place? Have you given any thought to where it is going to be? And where are you going to be buried? I don't like to think about it. You know, but we have to give thought to it sooner or later. In this life, we are going to perish. In this life, it's appointed unto men once to die. So we have to think about where that's going to be, where we want to be buried. They were buried. He was slept with his fathers. It means sleep, meaning he was buried. He died, and he was buried with his fathers. And in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 4, here's what the skeptics say. The skeptics will say, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, I'm aware. I don't see anything different. Where is his coming? He promised to come, but where is he? Everything's the same way ever since the fathers have fallen asleep. So all the great patriarchs are dead, all the prophets are dead, all these people. Well, where is he? He's still not here. So we have that metaphor for death. Here's the question. When should you not sleep? The Bible tells you that there are times when you should not. Absolutely not. Now I'll give you some practical places. A good friend of mine, Tom Pickerel, he said, you know, you can shorten your life a great deal by taking frequent naps behind the wheel of your car. And There's always a question, by the way, but the experts question whether or not naps are useful or naps can make up if you don't get enough sleep, whether you can take a nap and make it up. Some people say yes, some people say no. I don't know. I think it has to do with you, whether your mind can get into it, whether you can get into the REM sleep and the deeper sleep, depending on what you do with a nap and how refreshing you are after a nap. Some people feel drugged after a nap. They feel, I can't sleep afterward, or I just want to keep sleeping and my brain gets into it's so deep that I just don't want to take a nap. There are people like that. Other people feel that naps can really refresh them and they can bounce back as though they've had several hours of good sleep, even though they took a 20 or 30 minute nap. So you don't want to sleep behind the wheel of your car. You don't want to sleep operating dangerous machinery. You don't want to sleep in freezing cold weather. It's freezing cold, your body feels cold, and you think, you know, I'm just going to lie down here and go to sleep. You don't want to do that, because when you do, that'll be the last sleep in this life you'll have, because you will freeze to death. You don't want to sleep in school, in classes. You're listening for good information. And let me tell you another place you should not sleep. In church. Although I know it's one of your favorite places to take a nap. Trust me, do I ever know it. Trust me, do I ever know it. Okay. So another place you should sleep. All right, church. And the Bible says here, there are other places, there are other times when you should not sleep. And in the Bible, when you sleep during a time when you're supposed to be active, the Proverbs have a number of Proverbs that refer to sleep as the province of the lazy, and it yields poverty and hunger. So there's a time not to sleep. Here it is in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond. Now that Hebrew word vagabond is like a highwayman, like a robber. He's coming in to look for you. He's on his way to rob. And your need like an armed man. He's going to break in. An armed man, you're not going to stop an armed man. A lot of people think, you know, I lock my doors, I lock my windows, people can't get in my house. Well, that's what you think. If a person wants in your house, they're coming in your house. An armed man, you're not going to stop them. And so the Bible is saying, your poverty will come like a vagabond. Your poverty will come, your need will come like an armed man, your want, your need will come like an armed man. That is, when you sleep during the time you should be working and taking care of business, things that need to be done. Now, you know, in the Bible, it was agrarian society. So let's say I'm a farmer and I plant. And if I miss the time to plant, I'm not going to get the crops I need because I just, well, it's too late. I don't want to plant today. I don't feel like planting this, you know, this week. I'm asleep. I want to rest. I don't want to get up and do it. So after that, I let weeks go by and I don't plant. What happens? I don't get the yield in time. And then when I get the yield, what do I have to do? The crops are ready. We need to do what when the crops are ready? We need to harvest them. That takes work. I got to get up early. I got to get out there while it's cool. I don't want to be out there in the middle of the day when it's so hot. I can't take it. I faint. So you need to get up. Work. Let me read that in the New English Translation. Your poverty will come like a robber highwayman, and your need like an armed man. In Proverbs chapter 19, this is a very interesting proverb. It's very, I sort of relate to this because I've had this when I was a kid happen. Listen to this proverb, chapter 19. I'm going to read the New American Standard Version. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Laziness cast you. I mean, if you don't move, you just sit around, you don't make any movements, you don't do anything, you just kind of start feeling drugged. You feel like I can't, you know, I just can't do anything. It gets you into this malaise, this deep sleep, like I just don't feel like. And there are people who, you know, we always also talked about depression that was a reason some people couldn't sleep. But depression also can manifest itself in just wanting to sleep and not ever get up. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to face the world. I just want to sit here. But laziness can sort of drug your body till you just don't have any energy. Let me read that in the New English Translation. Laziness brings on a deep sleep. And the idle person will go hungry. The idle person. Now, not in our society, of course, because we're going to support the idle. We're going to support anybody. You won't go hungry. You know, we'll just, you know, throw the food away. By the way, I just heard on the news they're doing a documentary on how much food is wasted in the United States of America. How much food we throw away in the dumpsters. Grocery stores, places like that. They have labels, you know, where the food is, you can sell it out after this date, you know, they put a date on it, best, you know, sell it by this date, sell it by that, and then they take it off the shelves. They go just take it off. What do they do with it? A lot of them are giving it away, hopefully, but before that, they were throwing it away in the dumpsters. And a lot of people just waste food, waste, waste, waste. There's enormous amounts of waste of food when there are people who are hungry. Now, if you're hungry for no fault of your own, and the Bible has that, for through no fault of yours you're hungry, or you have bad situation happen and you're poor through no fault, you're willing to work, you're willing to do, but you're poor, then, you know, that person needs to be helped. That person is worthy of help. But a person who does not work, laziness, they bring on hunger. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will have plenty of bread. You know, get up, get going. The Christian Standard Bible translates like this. Don't love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will have enough to eat. Get with it. Get active. Start doing something. Open your eyes. Now, the other place, you know, in the Proverbs, sometimes the Proverbs repeat themselves. You know, there are a number of Proverbs that repeat themselves specifically. For instance, there's a proverb that goes like this. There is a way that seems right unto a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know, that's repeated. That's said twice in the Proverbs. Well, we just read this passage in Proverbs chapter 6. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? Arise, a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands. Remember that? In Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. Well, let me read you Proverbs 24, verses 34 and 30, 33 and 34. Same thing. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. That's the second time that's said in the book of Proverbs. So when the Bible says something once, it's worth looking at. When it says something twice, you better really pay attention, because that says that's demanding a major principle of life, a major principle. Now, sleep is also used in another way. Here's another kind of sleep you do not want. I'm going to read from Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 14. I'm going to begin in verse 32. The book of Mark, chapter 14, and I'm beginning to read in verse 32. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." He took them with him, Peter, James, and John, and he was very distressed and troubled, and he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." Keep watch, meaning be alert, stay up. And then he went a little beyond them, and he left, and he fell to the ground and began to pray as if he were possible, he says, you know, that the hour might pass him by. And he's saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours, your will be done. In verse 37, he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch 1 hour? Then he says this in verse 38, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now in verse 39, and again he went away and prayed, and he came the words afterward and began to pray and to say to them, the eyes were very heavy, they did not. And then he came the third time, are you sleeping, resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed. Let's get going. Now, in this same book, chapter 13, beginning in verse 35, therefore be on the alert. Okay? He's talking about how he went on a far journey. Here's the kind of sleep you don't want. It's a metaphor for spiritual dullness. It's a metaphor for spiritual lethargy. Chapter 13, Mark 13. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether it's in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows in the morning. In this case, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. Does that mean, if you take it literally, I guess we should never sleep. We don't know when Jesus is coming, so never fall asleep at night, never get up. No, it's metaphorically. You don't want to be asleep spiritually. You don't want to be letting your spiritual life go down the drain where you are not paying attention to your prayers, to your, you know, to your walk in life, to your relationship with Jesus Christ, to your relationship with God the Father, to your relationship with the brethren. You do not want that. And then he says in verse 37, what I say to you all. And the Greek word is translated watch in the book of King James book, but it means be on the alert. It's the opposite from sleeping. Sleeping is, you know, you're letting things go. You're, but this is being awake, be a sharp, you know. Be awake. Heads up, we used to say. Heads up. You ever have that phrase when you know, be awake. You know, get, wake up. People will say, wake up. You know, if you're playing sports, you know, that means get with it. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, we have this statement. We know this about the time. It is about what time it is. The hour has come for you to awaken from sleep. Romans. This is Paul writing to the Romans. The time has come for you to awaken from sleep. That is spiritual lethargy. For now our salvation is nearer than when we began believing. Our salvation. And again, I do not like to set the date of Jesus Christ's coming, because no one knows. I'll tell you when, for you, the coming of Christ is. That's the day you die. The day you die, that's Christ coming in your life. You don't have to worry about looking, I'm going to look for signs. I want to see what prophecy said. I want to see if we can calculate the when to the end. You better think about your mortality. And our time is, it's high time for us. The hour has come for you to awaken from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we began believing. And for sure that's true. Ephesians chapter 5. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, now Paul is quoting a little proverb here. Awake, sleeper! And arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. End quote. Therefore, Paul says, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Time is important. Making the most of it is important. Utilizing it properly. making sure. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have any fun. That doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean you can't rest. That doesn't mean that. But making sure your time is used in a way that you're making spiritual progress, that you're making physical progress, that you're increasing your learning, your knowledge, your abilities, your opportunities, that you're developing as a human being, your talents, your abilities. You want to use your time wisely. You know, people like to fritter away their time with nonsensical things that don't matter. And, you know, I'm not saying you can't have any recreation. Please don't understand, you know, don't misunderstand me on that. Of course you can have some recreation. But to fritter your time away on and on and on because you're not developing. You're not increasing your knowledge. You're not increasing anything. It's just foolish. It's foolish. Watch how you walk in this life. That means live your life. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time is the way a lot of the King James says. Redeeming the time, buying it back. It means making the most of it, utilizing it appropriately. Because when you get down to it, what is our life? You have been allotted in this life a certain number of hours, minutes, days, months, years. Oh, time runs out. The time will run out. And I don't care how long you live, but the time will run out one day. Some people live over 100. Some people live 70. Yeah, I've known some good friends that I thought would live a long time, and they're dead. Their time ran out. Maybe long before they anticipated the time would run out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 5, and I'm going to begin in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Now again, in the Bible, metaphor, dark, light becomes truth, God's way, purity, holiness, the way you walk. Darkness becomes the evil and error and falsehood and all that, okay? So you have these metaphors. So then, he says, we're not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep. Again, metaphor for being spiritually dull, spiritually out of it. Let us not sleep. That's the time you don't want to sleep spiritually. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us be on the alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk in the night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. We have faith and love and the hope as the helmet of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will be gathered, we will live together with him. Whether we're awake or, in other words, you might go to the literal thing, you might be sleeping. Maybe you die in your sleep, maybe you're awake, but because some of us are going to be awake at the time of Christ's coming. There will be Christians on earth who will be changed in an instant. I don't expect to be one of those. I don't expect. That's going to be a very unique and very short span of time compared to the long period of time that Christianity has been here on earth and people have been Christians. It's a very short time. I don't expect to be that. So we're going to be together whether we sleep or awake, but we want to not be sleeping in this world and be spiritually dull. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. There's that same Greek word in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that those who of us, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede, go in advance of those who have fallen asleep. People who have fallen asleep will be up in the air first. Paul used that phrase. They will be caught up in the air, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. We will not go ahead of them. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. Their deeds. Well, what are you going to have at the end of this life? Your money's not going to follow you. Your possessions are not going to follow you. Your stamp collections are not going to follow you. Your other things. What's going to follow you? It's your deeds. That kind word, that special way you've done, your deeds, and the way you've lived, and the character you've built, and the understanding that you have. And you're going to increase all that, of course. Their deeds will follow them. They will rest in the Lord from their labors. You know, sometimes after a while you just get tired. I talk to people who, you know, they just get, I ask them about their parents or things. My mother just said, I'm so tired. I just want to lie down and sleep. And some people sleep and die in their sleep. That's it. I'm tired. I'm too tired to go on. You see, we have a certain life force, a certain life energy. When that runs out, and it will run out. It will run out. Because in this life, we are not meant to be forever. That's why young people, you know, if you're young, you're vigorous, you're strong, that's great. It's wonderful. Stay that way and you'll live your life. And you have to fortify that with good nutrition, because that's going to give you, you're eating the living foods and the other things that will fortify you into the future. But the day will come when the thyroid slows down, the endocrine system slows down, the digestive system slows down, the respiratory system slows down, circulatory system slows down, and you just slow down. And eventually, you just die. That's just the way it is. We are not meant to live forever in this life. That's why we have faith and believe in a future life. Otherwise, where are we? We're all, of all men, most miserable. If we give up all the good things, we might as well get out and live it up. If that's all there is, if just having this life is all there is. In the book of Job, Job wrote this. This is what it says. Job says, in Job 14, verses 14 through 16, it goes, if a man die, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. And life is really a struggle. Life is struggle. You have to have enough energy to deal with your problems. You have to have enough energy to take care of the things you have to take care of, to do the work that you have to do. You know? Life is a struggle. You struggle to stay alive. You struggle to learn. You struggle to grow. You struggle to in your work. You struggle. It takes energy. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. God will call. We saw that Jesus said, all that in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. That's right. Now there's a passage in the book of Psalm, chapter 72, and verse 14. It goes like this. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. And precious is their blood in his sight. Listen to that. He's talking about God's people, his people. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. And precious is their blood in his sight. That's very close to this other beautiful psalm in Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Eternal is the death of his saints. The New American Standard Translation has the death of his godly ones. But I like the New English Translation the best. It goes like this. Psalm 116 and verse 15. The Lord, the Eternal, values the lives of his faithful followers. And when you die, that becomes the capsule of your entire life. You're died. That's the capsule. The Eternal values the lives of his faithful followers. It's very important to God. You're a faithful, loving follower. And you don't sleep when it's time to harvest. And you don't spiritually sleep. It's very important to God. He values that. It's very important to him. So there's a time to sleep. In this physical life, you need good sleep. Everybody sleeps. Every animal sleeps. Every bird sleeps. Every kitten sleeps. Every cat sleeps. Every lion, every zebra. They all sleep. Everything sleeps in this life. It's us. It's the only one that doesn't sleep in this life is the Eternal. The Eternal never sleeps. He watches over Israel. He watches over you. He watches over me day and night. He never sleeps. You can call on God at any time of the day or night. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, when you call on the minister, you call on the doctor, I can't call him now. It's 10:30, 11 o'clock. He might sleep. Oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't dare call now. But the Eternal, you can call on him anytime, any hour, any place, any time. He never slumbers. He that keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. There's a time for you to sleep. But there's never a time to be spiritually asleep.